This is University of Jamestown volleyball coach John Heggerly, and you're listening to ESPN Jamestown.
Back here on ESPN Jamestown and NewsDakota.com, it is time for another edition of Movies. Thank you for joining us. We're glad to have you along. I'm Steve Linsmeyer, and joining me across the desk is the late, great Warren Abrahamson.
Hello, Steven.
How are you?
I'm good. Fitting song for Movie Monday.
Yes.
On a Tuesday.
Yes.
Some big news we got to get to, but I feel like I should bow out and let you do that, but we got lots of movie news to talk about.
We got some stuff.
Some stuff.
We also have a fun list that I found. The 21 most memorable movie moments from the last 21 years.
Oh, gosh. A lot come to mind. It'll be interesting to see what's on the list. Yeah.
We will talk about that as well. We will start, though, with the box office. But before I do want to tease our big news, I actually missed it on Saturday. Well, I shouldn't say I missed it. I read it on Saturday. But I was hanging out with friends, and maybe was a little intoxicated.
So didn't have time to hit you.
So didn't really register what I had read until the next day.
Because the thing is, I had seen it on Saturday. I had seen it when it was being discussed and talked about, and I was like, I'm surprised I haven't heard from you.
Yeah.
So when I did finally hear from you on Sunday, I was like, there it is.
Yeah. Saturday I just had a little, I had a couple of beers, and we were hanging out.
Just you and the boys. That's all good.
Me and the boys. Yep. So I missed it on Saturday. However, I saw it on Sunday. So we'll talk about it in just a bit. Well, I saw it and it registered on Sunday. let's dive into the box office first. We start with the weekend numbers.
Ooh.
And Good Boys took the top spot in its opening weekend, $21 million.
The first number one R-rated movie to open up since 2016 or something like that, I read somewhere.
Well, it didn't have a whole lot of competition.
No, it certainly didn't. But this was a movie I went to over the weekend.
You did. I did go to see it.
I am not kidding when I say I had fun watching that movie. It takes all the tired tropes. You know, you've seen the college students try to get everything together to get to the party. You've seen the adults try to do everything to get to the party. It just takes kids and puts it in a kid situation before they got to get to the party. It's like one of those movies, but I have not laughed out loud in a movie in so long.
Really?
And there's moments where I found myself going like that, you know, very, very funny. All the actors do a great job. And what's weird is you never think with raunchy comedies like this that they're going to have a message that kind of hits home. And it certainly did.
Nice.
So, I mean, at the end, it kind of comes together when you're like, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? So enjoyable. It's surprisingly enjoyable.
Nice.
And every now and again, you got to see those movies that are oh, why'd they have to joke about that?
Yeah, well, I definitely would try to see it this week. Good Boys took the top spot. Fast and Furious, Hobbs and Shaw came in second at $14 million. The Lion King at number three. Angry Birds Movie 2 opened at number four with $10.3 million.
The thing is, it's getting crazy good reviews. So I don't know why.
Well, it's just not a movie a lot of people are interested in, I don't think.
I guess not. There's a lot of choices at theaters right now. There's a lot.
There's a lot of movies. If you've missed any in the last couple weeks, they've been coming out Fast and Furious. Pun intended. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, also in its second weekend at number five.
Uh-huh.
Door, the Lost City of Gold, in its second weekend at number six. You had some movies that...
There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
And a lot of those are going to hang around because I think there's only really one big movie that's coming out this weekend.
Let's dive on over to the release schedule.
Angel Has Fallen.
Angel Has Fallen, which...
It's in the vein of Olympus Has Fallen.
Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen.
London Has Fallen. I mean, you got Morgan Freeman returning as the president. You've got Gerard Butler returning as the guy, Angel or whatever they call him.
Now, if you know the origin of Olympus Has Fallen...
Right. We talked about that when that movie came out, the books, right?
Olympus Has Fallen is based on a book called Transfer of Power by Vince Flynn, who they were two different guys, a producer and a director, were tagged to do Transfer of Power. They split.
And made two separate.
One did Olympus Has Fallen, and one, what was the name of the other one?
I can't remember. Obviously, it's not as big as, but I know what you're talking about. I just don't know what it was called.
With Channing Tatum, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember what it was, though.
I can't think of the name of it.
Not Elysium. I don't remember.
Well, they did, both did White House.
White House Down or
White
something
House
like that.
White House Down. That's what, right? Channing Tatum, right?
Channing, I think so.
Yeah.
Why don't we have the internet here.
Let's... Okay, so yeah, you looked it up.
Yeah, Channing Tatum, Jamie Foxx. And they were like, I remember because it was comparing. It's like, that seems like the same movie. And they kind of came out at the same time.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, what? But this one, I mean, two spinoffs now of Olympus Has Fallen.
But both of those books were very much on the Transfer of Power.
Yeah.
Were based on Transfer
of Power.
You've
read those?
I've read Transfer of Power.
And it was really good. I think I remember.
I liked it. Yeah. I haven't really read many of the other Vince Flynn books. I read a few, but
yeah.
Transfer of Power is probably the best one.
Interesting. Okay.
And then, of course, they tried to make a movie, and it fell through.
cool.
And then they made fake movies, or they made movies
fake
that
movies.
Were loosely based on the story.
Mm-hmm. So that's the big movie that I know that's coming out.
Let's go into our other big news. Which, of course, is that Ewan McGregor is back.
What?
That's right. Ewan McGregor will reprise his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi in a Disney Plus show about the years between Episode 3 and Episode 4.
That is what I wanted. That, you know, there's not many times when you request something or you're like, you know what I want to see? I want to see this. And it happens. And to have him coming back as Obi-Wan Kenobi, which, such a great job. Like, that's one of the most underrated roles that he played in Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yep.
And to have him come back and do this in between so we kind of get some of this fill, I am here for it.
And if you are a fan of the Rebels TV show, which I am, there is one part where Obi-Wan Kenobi
makes an appearance.
And he finishes off Darth Maul once and for all. So that storyline, at least, is out of it a little bit.
Okay.
Because it's already been shown on screen. But there are a lot of different ways that they could take this.
Oh, yeah.
With Obi-Wan Kenobi. Because, I mean, there's a 19-year period.
I was just going to say, there's so
between
much.
Episode 3 and Episode 4 where we don't know a ton about what Obi-Wan Kenobi's been up
to. How did he get on to the planet where Luke Skywalker was? Did he understand that that's where he needed to be, or was he just trying to go to the most secluded place? What did he do between that time of, you know, Episode 3 and Episode 4? Like, nobody knows. And I'm excited to see some of these questions get answered. Plus, with that Han Solo movie that came out and seeing that Darth Maul appearance, right?
Yeah.
I feel like they want to do something with that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just do that and never do it again.
Well, there was a plan for a sequel of some sort, or a Crimson Dawn spinoff movie that we never got.
I don't think we're going to see that.
We're ever going to get.
If anything, it comes to Disney Plus. They do something there.
We could
see
a Crimson Dawn TV show.
I think so.
I think that's very much in the cards.
Right.
But I don't think we're ever going to see a movie based on Crimson Dawn. The only thing that they kind of did was Solo that boxed themselves into a corner a little bit, is that they had Emilia Clarke now become the side, you know, like the power, one of the powerful players in Crimson Dawn. So how do you continue that story
with her?
Because you're not going to get Emilia Clarke for a TV show.
I don't think you're
likely.
I mean, unless you just say, hey, one season, just come on. Like, we need a big
name. Come do 10, 15 episodes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and what a lineup Disney Plus has right now. Like Mandalorian and now this and just several other and Marvel things. Like,
then they have the Diego Luna spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Based on the characters of Rogue One. So
I was on the fence about Disney Plus because I was like, now I have to get another suit. But now knowing that it's also packaged with Hulu and ESPN.
Oh, it is.
For $13 a month.
Nice.
I'm like, okay. You got me. You got me. I'll do it.
Damn. Yeah. So, it's going to, Disney Plus is due out in November.
It's going to be off the chain because Mandalorian comes with it too, I think. Doesn't it premiere? I thought it premiered with
maybe.
It.
Maybe.
I thought it did.
Wow. If it does, I
think it drops with it.
Let's see if I can find that quick. Holy F. I just typed it in. November 12th, 2019 is the first episode date of The Mandalorian.
I think that's the closest you've come to cursing is just saying holy F. It drops with it. That's going to be the biggest sell, I think, of people getting onto Disney Plus. Whether they get it, watch it, and then cancel it, that remains to be seen. But, I mean, what a way to open up this new streaming
And, of course,
service.
The Prince of Dorne, Pedro Pascal, will
be
playing The Mandalorian.
Man. I'm excited, and I don't know, I haven't read much on it. I don't know if they're going to drop it like episode-by-episode basis, or if it's just going to be a free-for-all like Netflix does it.
Well, it says The Mandalorian is scheduled to premiere its first episode.
Okay, so it might be an episode-by-episode.
On November 12th, 2019.
Okay.
I do have a hard time believing, it's only 8 episodes, I was going to say.
Well, I read somewhere Jon Favreau is also working already on season 2, like getting things put together for it.
I just have a hard time believing they would go week by week and run into
Christmas and
the release of episode 9.
Unless it releases right up to episode 9.
It could. 8 episodes.
Right, cuz 8 episodes November 12th. That's close, right? That's real close.
It would be, yeah.
How have we not also talked that we're in the final weeks?
Yes,
of Star Wars.
I realized that actually last week that we haven't
August, for crying out loud.
We haven't even touched on it hardly. Man. That we are 4 months away.
We're getting
from
into
episode
this.
9.
We're getting into the second wind, and where now we're going to start seeing those Oscar movies. This is Oscar movie season soon. Yeah. And Joker coming out with Joaquin Phoenix, which I am stoked for. And he could easily be up for an Oscar for it already. We're getting into that. And then, of course, the big blockbusters around Christmas time.
And Thanksgiving.
And
the release of Disney Plus. We got so much yet to come.
There's a lot to see.
But we probably do need to do episode 9 a little more justice. Granted, there hasn't been a lot of new stuff recently.
Just that one trailer, right? Yeah. And the release of the name of it. And that's it. That's all we've gotten in the last half a year. That's it.
We are a little bit starved for...
So that's why Mandalorian dropping would be a little nice little whet your appetite. Remember, Star Wars exists kind of thing, you know?
It does exist.
It does.
All right.
It's here.
Let's go to this list. I think this list is super interesting that I found. The top 21... most memorable movie moments
in the last how many years?
21 years. So, not quite one thing a year, but still, quite awesome here. Number 21, Cars Don't Fly from Furious 7.
Oh yeah, that's when they steered into this just let's just be weird, and people loved it.
That's when they jumped the shark.
That's when they're just like, hey, flying cars.
Heather's Confessional from the Blair Witch Project.
I haven't seen the Blair Witch Project.
That's when she's like, I'm so scared.
Oh, that's pretty iconic. I know.
Crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge from the movie Selma. I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen Selma.
Satine's Entrance from Moulin Rouge. I have not seen Moulin Rouge.
I've seen bits and pieces. Just the music. Ewan McGregor's in it, so...
A Kiss in the Kiss in the Rain from The Notebook.
Of course. I've not seen The Notebook, but everybody knows that scene.
London is deserted in 28 Days Later.
Yes.
I haven't seen 28 Days Later in a long time.
He wakes
time.
Up and everything is just...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been a long time, but that's
I'm
how
gonna
it
have
starts.
To, I'm going to have to watch that again. That's a great
movie.
It is
a good one. That's a good zombie movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids get food poisoning from
Classic.
The movie Bridesmaids.
Iconic comedy. and all those big comedy names doing that, too, with Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig. Who's the other? It's not Rose Byrne, is it?
Maya Rudolph, Rose Byrne.
Okay, but I think Rose Byrne didn't eat what they ate.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Right.
Not,
so
yeah.
I mean, she's kind of
Maya Rudolph. Literally,
Maya Rudolph goes into
in the
street.
Middle of the street.
That's so good.
The chest waxing scene from 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Classic. Everybody, everybody was screaming Kelly Clarkson when they got hurt after
that. Steve Carell says it's one of the things he gets yelled at him the most.
I bet he does.
And Kelly Clarkson also gets yelled at him.
Kelly Clarkson!
Oh, Kelly Clarkson! Remember Me from Mad Max Fury Road. Oh, I only saw that once, so I guess I don't...
So good, dude. I loved Mad Max Fury Road. I can't wait till the next one comes out.
Number 12, Harry Potter and Lord Voldemort's that duel battle. From The Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Classic.
Will Ferrell. Santa's here? I know him.
Yeah.
From Elf.
Yeah. You sit on a throne of lies.
Juan teaches Sharon to swim from Moonlight. I haven't seen that.
That's the one that won instead of the other movie, remember, at the Oscars when they're like, the winner is this. Oh, actually, it's Moonlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen Moonlight, but that's what I remember from it.
The Upside Down Kiss from Spider-Man.
Classic. Tobey Maguire and Kristen Dunst, man.
Yeah. No Man's Land from Wonder Woman. I don't
remember that.
I don't know that one.
It's been a while since I've seen that, too, though.
Gollum talks to Schmeagle from Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The government lobby scene from The Matrix.
Oh, iconic.
I still haven't seen The Matrix.
Oh, I could watch that over and over again.
I haven't seen it.
It's so good. It holds up. It was made in the 90s, like 98. Still amazing to this day.
Number five. So we're in the top five now.
I'm waiting for you to bring up
something.
Do
you have something. Any guess? Or any guesses?
I'm waiting for Joker in the interrogation scene with the pencil.
We'll see if it's on there. Number five, the Avengers assemble in New York from Marvel's The Avengers.
Classic. That nice little circular pan while they're all back to back and just Hulk screaming and you're just like, yes!
Now, this one's not on there, but I would be willing to bet that the end of Endgame is more iconic than this one.
Yeah.
But you are seeing the Avengers together for the first time, so it is kind of cool.
It was huge. Yeah.
But
Portals was amazing.
The Portals scene, I got freaking chills, man.
I know. And then he had to say it because he's never said it before. You hear Avengers assemble for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And it's bone chilling, especially knowing what they've been through.
Number four, Carl and Elle in the opening of Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's heart-wrenching.
That
man.
Will destroy your life. Yes. You'll never want to watch a movie after that.
I know. That's depressing. Bad. Number three, this was one of the older ones. I See Dead People from The Sixth Sense.
Classic, yeah. Everybody quoted it. I've still not seen it, but I know the movie from how much it's been quoted and talked about.
Oh, yeah. There's one scene in I See Dead People, or in
I See Dead People.
In Sixth Sense,
uh-huh.
That for weeks I like just was sick to my stomach about.
Really? I've not seen it. I just remember Dwight being like, I see dead people. It's funny because he was dead the whole time. And he's like, Dwight, spoilers.
There's a scene where the mom is putting Windex in her daughter's tomato soup to slowly kill her.
Oh.
And for weeks, I couldn't get that out of my head.
That's brutal.
I just could not handle that.
Yeah.
I just could not understand. And that was like, I was like 12 years old, 13 years old.
And now M. Night Shyamalan does these weird movies that it's like the twist is like the happening when the thing that's killing people is trees.
Yeah.
It's weird, but I still need to see Sixth Sense.
Number two is The Snap from Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah, that's up there for sure. Now, what's number one?
Dun, 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 dun. The Joker from The Dark Knight.
Yes, dude, I knew it.
It does not say specifically the interrogation scene, but it's just The Joker.
Dude.
From The Dark Knight.
I mean, you cannot beat Heath Ledger in that. I mean, I'm more disappointed today knowing what could have been with him in Christopher Nolan's movie.
In Rises.
In the next one, but also where Heath as an actor could go from there. Because iconic. Like, I mean, you say Joker, I'm thinking Heath Ledger. Like, he's topped.
I will agree with that. That it would have been interesting to see where it has gone. And I'm not condoning the fact that he's dead. Like, it was obviously bad.
It's tragic.
But it did up the legend status.
It did. I mean, it did. It's one of those that, I mean, and it happens in music too, where a rapper will release something. It's like, oh, cool, another album. He dies, and that album just skyrocketed. Michael Jackson, it happened with him. And like, when the Eagles, Glenn Frey passed away, like, their sales skyrocketed. It's just one of those things, and it helped that movie a little bit.
The fact that he never saw the film to completion.
Yep.
The fact
what
that
they were able to do with him having, like, how they were able to wrap everything up, he died before it was done.
Yeah. The fact that he posthumously won the Oscar.
Amazing.
I mean, the legend status of this character
I can't get enough of hearing what people say, how he was behind the scenes, and like he kept like notes and stuff, and how dark his notes were because he was just in that mindset of like,
ugh.
Man, yeah, I just thinking about it now, I need to see some of those scenes again.
And I think, I don't remember like, because the internet wasn't as big, so we didn't really have Twitter yet when Heath Ledger was announced as, you know, getting the role of Joker. But this, but that was really when we started to be more involved in who was getting what role.
Right.
You know, we got we got a lot more information on, there was questions on, you know, what were they going to, I think, I want to say there were talks of like, what's his name? The guy that plays, I can't think of his name. Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp.
Oh, playing the Riddler.
Playing the Riddler.
Yeah.
I mean, so we were just kind of getting into this culture of like, casting choices ahead of time.
It's right. I mean, like, you comparatively, announcement of the movie, it's just as high as announcing that movie, the hype of, as announcing who's going to play who in what movie, right? Like, we just got super stoked about Ewan McGregor playing Obi-Wan Kenobi again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're more stoked about that than knowing that there's going to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi TV series on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're definitely in that culture where we're talking about who's going
to
play.
So going back to my point, we were just sort of in the start of this culture, and I remember kind of thinking like, Heath Ledger, like,
oh yeah, like, you know him from Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't
from
know
from 10 Things I Hate About You, and you're like, how can he? What do you? I mean, what do they see? What did he? What
I'm like,
he,
I don't know if that really does it for me.
Yeah,
because I really wanted to see Johnny Depp as the Riddler.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like that was my dream casting in the Christopher Nolan series, and I wish we would have gotten to see it at some point.
Well, sadly, that will never come to fruition. We have to live with Tom Hardy as Bane and not being able to understand him. And
Well, I mean, I thought it was still fine.
It was a solid flick. That's a good trilogy. Those three are great. Yeah.
I mean, The Dark Knight will never be touched, in my opinion, as the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Yeah, that's tough to beat. Perfect.
That's Warren Abrahamson. I'm Steve Linsmeyer. This is Movies on ESPN Jamestown.